We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It is a big idea, a new world order, a world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
So that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
It's about the future of Europe and a new world order.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order.
We are now facing a common challenge. And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
And the president outlined his vision of a new world order in which the U.S. would participate fully.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
So I see a world order in the future with a multipolar world order.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
But in a globalized economy, we are going to have to take global responsibilities, and there is going to have to be some semblance of global governance.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
There also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form for the first time in history a truly global society.
2009 is also the first year global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
New World Order is the headline in the Globe and Mail in Canada.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
Of course we are. We are absolutely slaves to central banks.
Okay, we want to welcome everyone listening tonight. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church Friday Night Bible Study, and those of you that are here, we welcome you. Let's get into it tonight. We're going to study a little bit about the rise of the world government. I've got up here on the screen Lucifer's Global Conspiracy. We might want to bump me down a little bit. It's kind of echoing in here. Again, we welcome those of you listening by Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go first tonight. We're going to go to, just go ahead and turn to Psalm 2. I'm going to read something here, but we're going to talk about the conspiracy among world leaders right now, and that the Bible foretold the rise of a world government. I don't know why everybody would work or work against the idea or call it a conspiracy theory when the Bible says that it's going to happen. And then we can look and we can see all these people, especially in the last century, talking about that we need a world government. And then we see rich and elite and powerful people and political leaders, even presidents, congressmen, senators, we see them saying that we need a world government. So this is not a conspiracy anymore. I mean, the Bible foretold it. We're going to look at where the scriptures foretold there would be a conspiracy in the last days among world leaders and the rich and within the military, that there would be a conspiracy to form a world government. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. It's not for God that they're going to do it. It's for Lucifer or Satan. But anyway, just pause there with Psalm 2. But there is a group called the Illuminati. It's a historical fact. They do exist. It's not, again, conspiracy theory to say that there's a group of people in the world who worship Lucifer, Satan, and they happen to be wealthy and powerful people who have a plan to bring forth a world government and to appoint their man over it, the Antichrist. I mean, it just blows my mind that there's a lot of church folks. And we even have some. I mean, we even have some Christian brothers and sisters. But when I started talking about this a while back in a Bible study we were doing in Auburn, oh, that's a conspiracy. I don't want to hear that. And that brother has not been back to another Bible study since, just because I got on this subject. But again, if it's in your Bible, and especially Bible prophecy, it's not a conspiracy theory. If God Almighty foretold it, and then we see it happening or beginning to happen, why would we think it's just a theory? Why would we think it's some tinfoil hat person sitting in their mother's basement eating Hot Pockets and all they do is read stuff on the internet, right? That's not what this is about, if it's in your Bible, right? Now, let's just read this. The Illuminati, they were officially formed in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt. The invisible hand of the Illuminati has been at work in America, Europe, and the rest of the world, controlling global finance, politics, wars, science, education, religion, and society. The term Illuminati comes from the words illumined ones, which comes from the Lucifer, which means the shining one. And the root of this occult belief system is the worship of Lucifer or Satan. Lucifer has an organized army built with a hierarchical and organizational structure of the pyramid. The Eye of Horus in the pyramid of the U.S. dollar is the Eye of Lucifer. It symbolizes the control of America and the New World Order by the Illuminati. Now, that's why it's on there, and that's why you see it, and that's why you see all of these different people in the world making that triangle symbol. You see that triangle symbol in all kinds of things. But let's look at the scripture. I told you to turn to Psalm 2. Anyway, Psalm 2, I'm going to read it. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but Psalm 2, verse 1, it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Now, verse 4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." That means he will be laughing in a mocking type way. Now, we know this is an end time psalm. It's an end time prophecy. And it's also a prophecy about Jesus. Because let's read on, and then I'm going to come back to those verses, the first verses. Because the Lord said, "He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh." After they make this conspiracy, the world leaders, the kings of the earth, that set themselves and the rulers against the Lord, and this is Jehovah, Yahweh, and against his anointed, which is the term for Messiah or Christ. It's also the term for the church, or the true born-again believers in Jesus. So here's the prophecy, here's the word. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth. Everybody say that with me. Kings of the earth, right? And the rulers. Isn't it interesting? The kings of the earth have rulers, I believe, right? I think the kings of the earth are just the puppets. But the kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against who? The true God, right? And his anointed, his Christ, Messiah, and his church. Okay? You got it? Okay. Maybe. Maybe not. Technology's great when it works. Pain when it doesn't. But anyway, he says, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Now, you know, we know we're seeing this right now. What does it mean, "let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us"? This is saying that society, these rulers and these kings and the society that they influence would finally say, we don't want any of the restrictions of the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, and his Messiah. We don't want Christianity. We don't want any restrictions. We don't want any bans. We don't want to be held back from doing anything that we want to do. That's why you're seeing the big push to make homosexuality and transgender and all this other stuff, it's all these other perversions, it's being pushed because they don't want any restriction upon them. But of course, it goes on to say, "He that sitteth in the heavens, God Almighty, the Creator, he's going to laugh at these people." So right now, he's laughing at them. But it's not a good laugh. He's not amused. You know what he's laughing at? It's like from Proverbs 1. We'll read that in a minute. Because he sees their day is coming. You know, Psalm 92 says this, when the wicked, you see the wicked spring forth as the grass, when they're just spreading everywhere and springing up like new grass after a spring rain. The Lord says it is because they will soon be cut off. So they better enjoy their gay pride parades and their parties, because God's going to deal with this. And it says, "The Lord shall have them in derision. Then, after this, he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure." Now, this is especially talking about the day of God's wrath, of God's judgment upon the earth. And that's why I say this is an end-time judgment. And he goes on to speak about Jesus, the King, being set upon the holy hill. Verse 6, he says, "Yet I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Now, this is exactly what Revelation chapter 2 says. Everybody hold your spot right there in Psalm. Go to Revelation 2. We know this is talking about Jesus, and we know it's talking about the end, the second coming of Jesus, Revelation 2, verse 26. This is Jesus speaking. Well, actually, we can just read verse 25. He's speaking to the church of Thyatira, but I believe that is still speaking to us today. And he said, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Talking about his second coming. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So Jesus is going to come and rule the nations with a rod of iron, and we're going to rule with him. So that's what that's talking about. So we see this here in Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen of thine for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Then he says this, be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And we know from Revelation 6, we studied that last week before, Revelation 6 says, when the second coming comes, when the rich men and the chief men and the captains, when they see the Son of Man coming, it says they will say, you know, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. So Psalm 2, David wrote by the Holy Spirit through him, 1000 B.C. And it's all about the end time. It's an end time prophecy. Think about that. A 3,000-year-old prophecy says in the end, the kings of the earth and the rulers and the rich men are going to get together and they're going to conspire together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, is that in your Bible? You see that, right? So the Bible says it, right? Here we are 3,000 years later. Are we seeing that? Well, let's just see, right? Let's look at another passage, though, first, before we look at some of the... Oh, it's working. Now, we're talking about the rise or the prophecy, the end-time prophecy of an end-time global conspiracy to create a world government, to cast away God's rulership, God's leadership, to get rid of the Bible, to get rid of anybody who would try to put those laws and rules and commandments, and yes, New Testament commandments upon people. But here's the prophecy, and it's repeated in Daniel chapter 7, but he says here in Revelation 17, 12 through 4, the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. Now that 1 hour just a metaphor of it'll just be a short time. He says here, though, they will have one purpose, and they will give their power and authority to the beast, and they will make war against the Lamb. You see that? They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. See that right there. Now he says here, these 10 kings will give their power and strength and authority to the beast, right? Same type thing we're seeing. Now the beast, I shared this with you last week. We are following along something here. Because last week, what did we talk about? We talked about the beast in Daniel 7. How they represented these different nations, these empires that would be in existence in the last days. And then we went to Revelation 13 and we showed how these nations would unite together to form this end time beast. And I showed you how that the term beast is used both for this 10 horn, 10 king unity for the world government system that's coming. It's called the beast. And the man that's going to lead that is called the beast. And the man that's going to assist that is also called the beast. So we really have three beasts. You hear me? Everybody say this with me. There's three beasts in the book of Revelation. The 10 horns, 7 heads, world government, the man that will lead it, the second beast, and the third beast, the leader of the harlot, who has horns like a lamb, but speaks as the dragon. All right. Make sure you're paying attention. Wake up out there. All right. So, the Bible foretells it. Now, let's read this. This is from Revelation 6. I quoted it a minute ago, but I want you to see it again. Notice he said here, Revelation 6, 15 through 17, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? So, at first, these world leaders, and these great men, and these chief men, and these rich men, and these chief captains, and all of this, at first, they're going to think, we don't want anything to do with the Lord. We don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We don't want any of their rules, any of their commandments, any of their restrictions, any of their boundaries. We don't want any of it. But their tune is going to change when they see him coming. Right? Right? All right. Let's just look at a few of these. A few of these Illuminati symbols. You ought to be three of the most commonly used ones. You see here the pyramid with the eye over it. The all-seeing eye of Horus, that's the Egyptian. And you see this satanic salute is what they do. You'll see a lot of world leaders doing that stuff. And it's interesting, all these companies, you see this triangle. Even Ameritrade and a loom top on it here. Right? Look at this one. America Online, even. Cat. CBS. Nickelodeon. Look at Nickelodeon. Just stuck it right in there. Of course, there's old Jay-Z. He's hanging out with the Hillsong, New York Hillsong pastor, Carl Lentz. He was joking. The pastor of Hillsong, New York, was joking about their Illuminati meeting. Right? Look at how all these celebrities who've sold their soul to the devil show their allegiance. Look at that, covering one eye there. No, there's no conspiracy here. Nothing to look at. Keep buying their records. Keep watching their TV shows. All right? Look, even Bono. Everybody thinks U2's Christian. Ridiculous. All right. Bono from U2, right here. Lady Gaga. I mean, there's Prince. Who else is in this? I mean, there's all kinds. Some of them is Eminem. There's some of them I don't even know. Some of the newer people. So, yeah. Oh, is that? Yeah, there's Angelina. How can you miss those lips there, right? Now, let's look at something here. This is really where some things begin to change for America. As the Illuminati, and understand, I'm not saying America's evil. You understand? But America, the government, the money system and everything else has been hijacked by these people, and this is where it started. Big time. But you go back to the 1913 and the Federal Reserve, but before the Communist Manifesto was written, the Illuminati published the Illuminati Manifesto, and supposedly the atheistic Communist Manifesto is basically a duplicate of the Illuminati Manifesto. Around 1913, President Woodrow Wilson was chosen by the Rothschilds and the Illuminati and began to radically transform America into a Marxist nation. The mysterious man who controlled him was this man named Colonel Mandel House, who apparently had occult powers and was a Marxist revolutionary. In Colonel House's novel, Philip Drew Administrator, House creates a central character based on himself who leads a violent communist revolution against the United States. Well, it took him a while. But see, folks, we've had the communist revolution in America. We have a communist in the White House right now. They've won. That's why he says the Communist Manifesto and the Illuminati Manifesto are just duplicates of one another. Because the end time world government, what's interesting, in Revelation 13, you see it has the body of a leopard and the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, and it's got these seven heads and these 10 horns. But when you see it in Revelation 17, when it talks about they have one mind and one purpose, the whole thing, this seven-head, 10-horned beast is red at this point, completely red. Now, it wasn't red at first. Now, why is that? Red, what did we learn? Red is the color of? Remember, communism is the philosophy of a demon. Sounds good, but what it takes from you is your freedom. And it's Antichrist. It doesn't want the Lord. It doesn't want his anointing. See, they created these Illuminati. They created communism. And they did it from within the Catholic Church. People run the Catholic Church. They're in the Catholic Church. Whether you say Jesuits or Illuminati, Freemasons, Rosicrucians, Scottish Rite, York Rite, they all ultimately admit one thing. If you go high enough in any of these secret societies, any of these organizations, you know what they finally tell you? The one you're after, the one you've been pledging your life to and your submission to and giving your money, your dues to and everything, is Lucifer. But they always tell you. All right? Well, let's get a little deeper here. Now, this is what, in 1913, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the Federal Reserve Act, which created the most radical change in our nation's history. Our monetary system was completely transferred from the U.S. government and the American people into the hands of international bankers who set up private and completely secret corporation, the Federal Reserve. In other words, the U.S. monetary system was put under the control of private international bankers who are not under the control of our government. Around the same time, the Illuminati, acting through the Rothschilds and what eventually became known as the Council on Foreign Relations, ruled by the Rockefeller, controlled our foreign and domestic policy. That's why last night, listen, I watched the debate last night. And frankly, I don't trust any of them. Not Trump, not Cruz, none of them. At this point, even if there is one that might not be bought by these people, and you know, there's a chance, I guess, Trump has his own money. A chance he's his own man. There is a chance. But the man needs Jesus so bad. And you know, I know people are listening to me, and I'll probably make some Christians mad tonight. Because I'm just, you're not going to see from me political stuff on Facebook. You're not. Not this go around. Because, truth, let's look at the most conservative guy out there, right? Ted Cruz. Well, his wife is a big shot with these bankers. And she's on the Council of Foreign Relations. And he worked for George W. Bush. Now, for the Kool-Aid drinking Republican Christian who doesn't think or look outside of Fox News, they think that being connected to George W. is a good thing. Because they don't understand, they don't know the truth about the Bush family. Council on Foreign Relations is I guess you could call it an elite think tank, a group of, you know, you have to be invited to be part of this group. It's an elite group, but pretty much every president gets his cabinet members, whether Republican or Democrat, from this group of people right here. Oh, yeah, he's in it. And that's what it is. It's Republicans and Democrats. Now, even the European ones, they have their side. I can't remember what they're called. I'll have to look in a second. I got it on one of these slides. But there's the European version of this. And this is the group, too, the Council on Foreign Relations that I showed you last week, whose symbol, or the week before, whose symbol, now remember, they want to create a world government. They're Illuminati-owned, started by the Rockefellers, Illuminati-owned bankers. We'll get more into the Rockefellers in a minute. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, their symbol is a white horse with a rider on it. They're telling you, we're part of this spirit that wants to pretend to be something good, but we're going to conquer the earth. We're going to create this world government. We're going to do it. And that spirit of that white horse, that evil spirit's working its way in a lot of different organizations. Now, we already looked at this one. Now, the other day, somebody commented on a comment that I made on Hagman & Hagman's thing. You know, I kind of got on Hagman & Hagman one night because they had this guy on that wrote a book talking about America's Mystery Babylon, and I just couldn't hold it any longer. And just went down and, of course, shared why the United States is not Mystery Babylon in Bible prophecy. I don't know if we'll get to that tonight, but somebody posted, you know, that America, no, they said America's not Mystery Babylon, America's the beast. No, folks, America, I wish I could get this through to Americans. The world does not revolve around the United States. And Bible prophecy does not revolve around the United States. It's unbelievable. Oh, well, we're the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're about to be taken down. This empire was once great, but it will fall. Like Rome, like Greece, it's going to fall. The beast, if you want to know who the beast is, the beast world government, you don't have to look far. Now, people say, well, isn't the head of the United Nations, isn't it in New York City? So would that make America the beast? No, no, no. Listen, if it was just America, this beast couldn't be a global government. Right? It says that the Antichrist will have power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Right? Not just America. Some people better get off this Barack Obama's the Antichrist. Now, he has the spirit of Antichrist. He's a devil for sure. Just like George W., just like George W.'s daddy, just like Clinton, just like Hillary. They're all in the same group. They're all Illuminati. Either they are Illuminati or they're bought and paid for hand puppets for the Illuminati, the real rulers of the kings of the earth, right? And I'm telling you, folks, if our election ends up being Jeb Bush against Hillary Clinton, you need to understand they have taken over completely. But who knows? It could end up being Biden and Cruz or Biden and whoever else, Kasich. Don't trust one of them. And I got a feeling that even if there's a man out there in the Republican Party who's a true conservative, he's been visited by Don Corleone. Here's the plan. Now, you're going to go along with us. Your signature, like Don Corleone told him, your signature can be on this paper or your brain. All right? Well, I think I'll sign it with a lot of it because they're a bunch of... The UN is the beast, world government. Now, it hasn't fully morphed into that, okay? But this is where they're going. And they tell you, this is where they're going. All of their people tell you, all of their big leaders and their bigwigs tell you, this is where, here's what's so funny. They know that the term world government or one world government is a dirty word, especially to Americans, right? So they changed it to global government. and the low information people think that's different than world government. I'm serious. Wait a minute now. World government. Global would mean world, and governance would mean governing the whole world. Mystery Babylon is clearly the Roman Catholic Church and her daughters that she's sweeping into. We may get to that tonight about her. This is one of the big misnomers about Mystery Babylon. Let's just run down it. I didn't bring the PowerPoint because I didn't know if we'd get into it, but let's just look at it real quick. Because there is the whore that rides the beast. Okay? Now, what are the clues in Revelation 17? What does it tell us? Well, first of all, it tells us that she is a harlot. She has a cup of idolatry in her hand. The kings of the earth commit fornication with her. Right? It says her colors are scarlet, red, and purple. Right? It says that she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Okay? It says about her that she is the city on seven hills or seven mountains. Last time I checked, the United States has a whole lot more than seven mountains. New York's about as flat as it gets, not on a mountain. Washington, D.C., the same. And then, if it wasn't enough, John said this at the end of Revelation 17. Y'all can look at it. He said, this great city is the one that reigneth, in good King James, reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now that is a present tense Greek verb. Now what that means is that this city that he was identifying as the great harlot presently reigning at that time over the kings of the earth. Who was that? Wasn't America? America didn't exist in 95 AD. So this entity had to be existing in 95 AD. This city on seven hills had to be there. It's Rome. And it was the world empire at the time, ruling over the known world, right? So there really is no debate here. People talk about it, America. America, you know, America's got a lot of problems. But one of the things that we have not done in the world for, you know, we've only been existed 239 years, right? The Roman Empire was here for 400 years before it began to collapse. And as it collapsed, it switched over into the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, they're the same buildings. You know what they used to call the Roman Emperor? The Pontiff. All they did was change from military uniform under Constantine, and they put on religious because the empire was going under. And Constantine in 313 AD saw this vision in the sky, and everybody thinks he saw a cross. He didn't see a cross. He saw an ankh. And so he went to his soldiers and said, you're Christians now. Kind of like preachers today. Raise your hand. Bow your head. Close your head. Raise your hand. Now you're a Christian. You don't have to change anything. Don't have to repent. Don't have to be born again. Well, that's what Constantine did. Amazing how many things we still do since the Catholic Church started evil stuff. We know that the America's red, white, and blue. That's our colors. Red, white, and blue. Says that the whores, purple and scarlet, purple and red. Nothing about us is purple. Purple and red. The cardinals, two ruling parties, Roman Catholic Church, cardinals wear red, bishops wear purple. There you have it. The Roman Catholic Church. She's drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Well, the Roman Empire in the first century was killing Christians, started killing Christians. I mean, think about it. The first martyrs, I know I'm going to mess y'all up. The first martyrs of Christianity had to be after Jesus died on the cross and after the day of Pentecost, right? And Rome started this in the late, you know, 50s and the 60s A.D. So the first century, the Roman Empire began to kill Christians. Now, and we know they killed Paul. Did not the Roman Empire kill Paul, the Apostle Paul, right? Did they not kill Peter? Right, we have the record, they crucified him upside down. Really, they killed almost all the apostles. They tried to kill John, but they couldn't. They tried several times. They boiled him in oil, right? So they put him on the Isle of Patmos. He ends up writing the book of Revelation. But notice this. You want a confirming thing that it has to be Rome again, another one? Go to Revelation. I'll show you this. Revelation 18. Not America, folks. Revelation, actually, you know what? It's Revelation 16 when she's judged. Hang on. Let me find it. I wasn't planning on going down this road, but it's okay. We'll go down. Ah, here we go. Yeah, I'm sorry. It is Revelation 18. Now, Revelation 17 and 18 talks about this. I'll tell you why people get hung up on it, because they think, again, wrongfully, Revelation 18, the identification of Mystery Babylon is that she's wealthy in marble and, you know, fine flour and wine. And when she is destroyed, the merchants of the earth see her burning and they're, oh. You know what's interesting is, do you know that America does not lead in the production of any of those things that are listed? Did you know that? Where is the number? Marble's mentioned in this list, right? Of who's Mystery Babylon? Marble. Where does the majority of marble come from in the world? Italy. Who leads the world in wine sales? It goes back and forth every year between Italy and France. Who has the best pasta in the world? Italy. That's what you take fine flour and you make pasta. Not one thing in that list in Revelation 18 where it says they see this, not one thing is, do you know that the United States, that we lead in nothing except now when North Dakota and South Dakota started drilling for oil, we actually began to lead in oil production, but that won't last long because they're going to shut that down. Now, let me show you this. Let me go back. Remember, who killed the apostles? Right. I think pretty much all of them except maybe Thomas, right, and John. Thomas went down to Ethiopia. So let's look at this. Look at this right here. Revelation 18, verse 20. This is after she is destroyed. Matter of fact, we'll back up to verse... Oh, goodness. I'm sitting here talking about it. We might as well read it. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for when they shall see the smoke of her burning standing off. Far off, for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city. And you know, it's interesting. It keeps saying city, nation. That great city, a city. Rome is the only entity in the world that is both a city and a state. The city-state, right? And he goes on to, well, the Vatican, you could say. And he goes on to say, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, cyan, wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of wood, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves and souls of men. Now, let's just drop on down. She's being destroyed. And look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. How could that be a miracle? Did we kill the apostles and the prophets that are in heaven? Did we? No, we didn't. We weren't even. But Romans. This is what I'm saying. The Bible makes some things irrefutable. I know there are people out there that like to argue, well, that's your interpretation, Pastor Dean. Well, I try to base it on what this book says, not what's popular. The richest entity on the face of the earth is not the United States of America. I know a lot of people think that. If that's so, then why are we $20 trillion in debt and borrowing money from China to give to Egypt? We're the richest country on the face of the earth. Yeah, right. We have monopoly money. We've been playing a game. And the game's about to be over. Right? The richest entity on the face of the earth has been here a lot longer than us. A couple of thousand years. And it's been robbing and pillaging and storing all this gold, silver, and precious stones and everything else. It's got the biggest vaults in the world. Who would that be? There you go. That's the whore. He's the great harlot, mother of abominations of the earth. And in her is found all. You know what's interesting? It says in her is found all the blood of the saints. You know why? We'll just look at the birth of Christianity. Jesus, the Messiah, comes, dies 33 A.D. for our sins, raises from the dead. And then, boom, you have Christians. Now you have to talk about the martyrs of the saints and the blood of Jesus. Well, Rome started it. Then they changed from a political entity into a religious, spiritual, false church, fake church. And then what does she begin to do right after that? Again, she begins, in the name of the church, kill and persecute any Christians and Jews that would not believe in her foolish, idolatrous ways. Like the cookie becomes Jesus' real flesh and the wine becomes his real blood, and you bow down and worship this cup and this cookie. They have a little tabernacle set in the front of a Catholic church, and they put the cookie in there, and the priest does his hocus pocus, and it becomes Jesus, and you kneel to that cookie. And that's not even counting the prayers to the saints, to Mary. That's why her cup is full of idolatry. The word in the King James, fornication, but the word fornication, pornia, in the Greek is translated both physical lust, sexual immorality, or spiritually, it says, idolatry. That's from the Strong's Greek Dictionary. You can text me if you want. So we got the whore. That's what's interesting. You got the whore going to ride the beast. What's my next? Look at this. I just got this one for tonight. The Vatican called for a world government. Who is that? Oh, that's Forbes. ForbesMagazine.com. Forbes.com. When was this article here? I think it's 8 on it. Is it October 20th? This is from 2011. The Vatican calls for a world government. You're going to see whatever triggers the collapse of the United States is when you will see them seize the moment. They will seize the moment and the UN will take charge. Here's another one. This is from World Net Daily. Author, Vatican aligns with UN on world governance. Why is the Vatican aligning with the UN? Because it says the whore rides the beast. He's going to be right there with you. Right? In fact, they can't do it without her and the Pope, which is interesting because they're going, just like a harlot gets used, the beast, the world government, the UN, and the Antichrist, who will be a Muslim, will use the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, who helped them bring the whole world together under their authority. And then it says the beast is the one who burns Rome with fire, the whore with fire. He turns that if a Muslim is in control, he's going to see it as, now we're going to get revenge for the Crusades, and we're finally going to take Rome that we always wanted. But this right here, I mean, these two articles, the Vatican, then here we go. We got some of the rich men. This was just back a few months ago. Bill Gates calls for a global government. Billionaire claims world government badly needed to save the earth. Save the earth. You know what we need the earth saved from? Them. His vaccines. His eugenics. His ideas of how he's going to lower the population through vaccines. Lower the population, he said. And what does he say we got to have to do that? A global government. Billionaire Bill Gates calls for a kind of global government this week, arguing that the creation of such a system would be needed to combat major issues such as climate change. Climate change. Live in Alabama. The climate changes all the time. No, we need to be saved from them. Thank God Jesus is coming back one day. Here's this. Now let's look. Is it only crazy preachers like Pastor Dean talking about the rise of a world government happening before our eyes? Right? No. Here you've got this guy, and I don't think he's a Christian at all, Christopher Walter Monken. He's a British politician. He's with the UK Independence Party. He was an advisor to the Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in the 80s. Here's what he said about the UN climate treaty. See, they're going to use this whole climate change, global warming lie to get more and more control over different nations. This is just one of the lies they're using. Right? Remember last week I showed you how they're using the promise to poor nations, like in Africa, they're using the promise that we're going to redistribute, we're going to eventually get the wealthy nations control of them. We're going to give you the money of the wealthy nations, and we're going to make everyone more equal, the communist idea, right? So they're doing it through economics. They're doing it through the lie of climate change. They're doing it through the lie of we're going to create world peace, right? These are all, they sound good. We're going to eliminate poverty. We're going to have world peace, right? We're going to save the planet from global warming, even though it's been cooling for the last 20 years. NASA admits that. It's been cooling. Wow. Alabama. You want to find hot, come to Alabama. All right. This is what Lord Monken said. This is back in the, he read the UN Climate Treaty. He said, I read that treaty, and what it says is this, that the world, that a world government is going to be created. He said the word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from countries of the West to third world countries. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. Meaning, see, what's coming is they've got all the lies in place, the UN does. And it is the beast. But remember, it says that these 10 kings that rise up are going to give their power and strength to the beast, and they're all going to have one mind. What is the one mind? This is their one mind. Their purpose, create a world government to transfer the wealth of wealthy nations to the third world to make everyone more equal, communism, and then to enforce it by taking everyone's arms away from them, and that only the new global government will have the weapons. I'm afraid some of them are going to get some blood on those pretty blue hats of theirs, right? But he says here, Lord Monken goes on to say, not just any government, mind you, they are about to impose a communist world government on the world. This is not a Christian preacher. This is a British politician Yeah, he is, by the way. I saw him in an interview the other day. All right. Here's going back to the Rio, the UN's Rio summit, Earth summit on sustainable development. Now, this is important. Now, this is back in Brazil in 2012. But why is this? Listen, when you hear the term, and you're going to hear it when the Pope comes in September to speak to the UN, because the UN, this is the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. Okay? The Pope will be speaking, and they're going to, with the Pope there, they're going to be launching their new goals for sustainable development beginning 2015 to 2030. Okay? When you hear the term from the UN, sustainable development, just put an equal sign beside that and go world government. They shroud these things in these terms to confuse people. Sustainable development. You know what? You leave me alone and I can sustain and develop. Right? I can build stuff. I can plant stuff. I can grow stuff. I can kill stuff and eat stuff. You see what I'm saying? Don't overtax me. Don't overregulate me. Don't take from me if I'm doing good and give it to this guy down here who wants to drink every day. That's communism. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got me preaching a little bit now. We're getting a little political here. About as much as we're going to do. Look what he says here. Anyway, this was the Rio UN Rio Earth Summit on Sustainable Development in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in June of 2012. The world government advocates that we're pushing even grander schemes. Lord Monckton, who heads the policy unit of the UK Independent Party, is the chief policy advisor to Washington, D.C.-based Science and Public Policy Institute. The New Americans, Alex Newman, this is what they said. They were still effectively, now this is in 2012 here, we're still effectively talking about a mechanism or mechanization for setting up a global government so that they could shut down the West, shut down democracy, and bring freedom to an end worldwide. These guys want to control it. Now let's just see. Any elite, other elite people in the world been talking about world government? Oh, but it's a conspiracy theory, Pastor Dean. Really? Lord Monckton doesn't think so. And old Walter Cronkite doesn't so either. In fact, he thinks it's a great idea. This is what he said, and I saw the video of this. He said, Walter Cronkite made this statement in 1999 speech, World Federalist Association, one of the oldest and foremost organizations promoting a world government. Here's what he said. It seems to many of us that if we are to avoid the eventual catastrophic world conflict, listen to this, we must strengthen the United Nations as a first step toward a world government. Walter Cronkite, wealthy, elite, press, media, a whole generation went to bed on this man telling them the news. All right? He said we must strengthen the United Nations as a step toward a world government with a legislature, executive, and judiciary, and police to enforce its international laws and to keep the peace. To do that, of course, we Americans will have to yield up some of our sovereignty and let them control us. What he's saying. He said it would take a lot of courage, a lot of faith in the new order. It's another term. You hear the world, these leaders say new order or new world order, but equal sign, world government of Lucifer. Okay? He goes on to say, Walter Cronkite goes on to say, we cannot defer this responsibility to posterity. Democracy, civilization itself is at stake. Within the next few years, we must change the basic structure of our global community from the present anarchic system of war to a new system governed by a democratic UN federation. I wish we could play the song for the Federation, the Empire, from Star Wars. That's what it is. $19.99, folks. How many years ago was that? Huh? 15 years ago. Another familiar face? Who's that creepy dude right there? Yeah. Yeah, he's a piece of work. You know what he called people? Regular folks like me and you, we are useful, useless eaters, is what we are. Useless eaters. I don't know what he is. I look at him and I see a devil. I hear from the Illuminati wife that, what was his name, Griggs? She said he likes, you know, his real name, he probably is a Nazi. Because look at this. Today, Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether it be real or completely made up. Huh? That threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing that man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Now, look at what John F. Kennedy said. We can play that clip. I bet we have it, Noah. Huh? We don't have to. I'll read it. This was President Kennedy's The President and the Press speech. This is well known out on talk radio, Christian talk radio land. But he says this, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. They rely on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations." Now, you have to understand that Kennedy knew their plan. This is what he was referring to. And his goal, he began the process of taking us out of the Federal Reserve and creating a currency controlled by the United States government. That's why they blew his head off. Oh, yeah. It was a CIA operation, and George Herbert Walker Bush was involved. You'll have to watch that documentary one day. It's irrefutable. Because John F. Kennedy was ticked off with the secret rogue CIA operation down in Cuba because it went bad. And he found out about it as it was in process, and I think he actually called a ship back. And so the people that the CIA that were not informing him they were in this operation in Cuba, a lot of them died because he pulled everything back. But you know what John F. Kennedy did? He took the heat for that whole mess in Cuba. Yeah, and he didn't do any of it. But he took the heat for it. But the CIA group, who was headed by George Herbert Walker Bush, were ticked off. And there are pretty much several witnesses that say that the team left Cuba and went to Dallas. That's another study. Here's James Paul Warburg. This is in address to the U.S. Senate, July 17, 1950. Now, those of you who don't know who James Paul Warburg is, his daddy was part of the founding of the Federal Reserve, Illuminati banker. Look at what he said. He said to the United States Senate, unashamed and unafraid, We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. In 1950, they've been working on this. Look at this. Albert Einstein. I firmly believe that the majority of peoples in the world would prefer to live in peace and security. Mankind's desire for peace can be realized only by the creation of a world government. We're going to skip a couple of these. I want to get to this one right here. This is one of my favorites. Georgia Congressman Larry McDonald, 1975 to 1983. He actually was the congressman in the district that later Newt Gingrich held for many years. Anyway, he was known for his staunch opposition to communism and believed in longstanding covert efforts by the Trilateral Commission and other powerful U.S. groups to bring about socialism and a world government. So here's a United States congressman, Larry McDonald from Georgia, who understood, he knew, there is a conspiracy among world leaders and even American leaders and bankers to bring about in America socialism, Obamacare, and a world government. Stated this, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one world government combining super capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean a conspiracy? Yes, I do, and I'm convinced there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. Now, Congressman McDonald was going to run for president in 1988 against one George Walker Bush. And he was killed in a Korean Airlines 007 flight that was shot down by a Soviet fighter jet over international waters. Willing to take out an entire plane full of people to get this congressman, who probably would have been the next president of the United States. And he wasn't going to have communism on a world government. Can you imagine the damage a man like that could do to their plan in the 1980s? I think that Larry McDonald would have been more conservative and more aggressive than Reagan ever thought about being. What year was it? What year? Let's see. It was during Reagan. The Reagan year. So let's look at Rockefeller. David Rockefeller. Wealthy, elite. Let's see. Let's see what all David Rockefeller. You know that he donated the land that the United Nations sits on. He donated it for the United Nations to be built in New York. He started the Club of Rome. He helped start the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah, this guy right here, you know, he just needs to go on and be with Lucifer, his buddy. I think he's so wealthy, he keeps having all kind of medical things done to keep him alive because he's hoping, he really does. But this is what he said. Now, look at this. He wrote a book, David Rockefeller, his memoirs, 2002, page 405. One of the leading conspirators that we read about in Psalm 2, right? The kings of the earth and the rulers. And we read in Revelation, the rich men, right? Did we read that? Look what he said. He said, some even believe, this is on page 405, of his memoirs, David Rockefeller, some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. Global, political, and economic. He said, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it. So is it a conspiracy theory when they admit what they're doing? Y'all with me? Is it? I know some of you have seen this before. We did this, actually I did a lot of this in our Bible Prophecy Conference in 2013, but never got the videos to upload. And we've covered some of this stuff actually on our Tuesday night Prophecy Quake show, but I feel like, you know, these Friday nights are to go back over some of this material, and we have new people all the time listening and coming. So here's a guy. Let's read this. Oh, what's this guy's name again? I can't believe I didn't put it there. Let me see if it's back there. What's his name? Gardner? Richard Gardner, I guess it is. Anyway, this is what he said. Now, he had been served several administrations. He said, in short, he said, the House of World Order, what does that mean? World government, will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. He said, it will look like great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality. He said, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Of course, for political as well as administrative reasons, some of these specialized arrangements should be brought into an appropriate relationship with the central institutions of the UN system. What are you saying? An end run around national sovereignty of the United States. See, I'm going to tell you, today when I was working, I was praying about, I didn't even know if I was going to have strength to do this, but I had. Well, I was praying about this, though, and I think the Lord laid it on my heart to go this direction tonight because of this. Very soon, you're going to see the sovereignty of the United States disappear. And the United States and what's left of it will be brought under the authority of the United Nations and the New World as it morphs into. It's not far away. I mean, these are people been in leadership in American politics, served presidents and administrations for years. Here's some more. Now, this is Richard N. Haass. He was the president of the Council on Foreign Relations in February 2006, and this is what he said. The goal should be to redefine sovereignty for the era of globalization, to find a balance between a world of fully sovereign states and an international system of either world government or anarchy. I mean, don't you love how they always give us, there's no other way, but this is what they always try to present. There's no other way we're going to survive, we're going to make it, unless we're either going to have a world government or we're going to have anarchy. But what they don't tell you is they're going to create the anarchy if they don't get the world government, or they're going to create the anarchy to get it. They're the ones doing it. Strobe Talbott, Deputy Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton's roommate when they were Rhodes Scholars, told Time magazine in 1992, in the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. He said, we'll realize that national sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. Do you realize what he's saying? That basically the founding of the United States, the Constitution of the United States, the sovereignty of this great nation that was founded upon those principles within the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Here's one of our leaders who served Bill Clinton, who's Bill Clinton's right-hand man, probably more than that, saying that national sovereignty wasn't a great idea after all. Oh, my. You got a better idea than Jefferson and Washington and Madison. What? You either have a republic and you have freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms, or you take that away. I'm sorry, Mr. Strobe Talbot. I think that our founding fathers had some great ideas. I don't know about y'all, right? But to people like Barack Obama, the way they're changing and working in the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, now anybody talks about the founding fathers and the Constitution, and even police. I saw this the other day. This guy's filming a cop. He's just filming in the neighborhood. The cop pulls up to him, gets out of his car, tells him to take his hand out of his pocket. He says, no, I haven't done anything. He's just filming with his phone. The cop pulls his gun out. That guy starts saying, you get away from me. I haven't broken any law. And the cop starts marching at him. And the cop says, what are you, some kind of constitutionalist or something? Where did he get that from? What, now it's bad if you actually believe in the Constitution that you can't search and seize me and arrest me without probable cause, or you can't search my... What? I'm a constitutionalist. That's a bad word. Constitutionalist with his gun pulled. And he was an old man cop. He needed his butt whipped is what he needed. Patriot Act, National, what is it, the NDAA, whatever. March 6, 1991, look at this. George Herbert Walker Bush stated, now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order. Now, you could say, maybe he just doesn't know what the term means, and he's just, reading the teleprompter, right? Except for this little comment he made. He was addressing the United Nations as President of the United States. He said, it is the sacred principle enshrined in the UN Charter to which we will henceforth pledge our allegiance. Y'all see that in Disney? And so he gets his son in there with all his same cronies. A few years later, what do they do? 9/11. Why? So they could gradually, through fear and intimidation, degrade our country and, in the name of security, take away our Fourth Amendment rights. That's what Bush did. Bush W. did it. Operation Stellar Wind. He was wiretapping anybody he wanted without warrant. And see, don't even let anybody be fooled last night by Chris Christie. He was appointed by Bush, U.S. attorney, thereabout. We've got to protect the American people. And we've got to give our security people all the tools that they need. Hey, I give Rand Paul, he said, no, we follow the Fourth Amendment. And it got nasty over the Fourth Amendment to the Bill of Rights. They hate it. These globalists, these elites who said they don't want the Lord and they don't want, they don't want the United States as it is. They want the UN. And here's the thing. Most of them, to get where they are, either bowed to Lucifer, Satan. They were either just born in it generationally, they were molested, ritualistically abused. I mean, they were brought up in it. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. W And Jeb? Oh, yeah. They got it. They got it. They got the sugar from daddy. This is one of the... George Herbert Walker Bush, one of the most evil men in America. Ever. You hear me? Ever. And let's look at this. I'm going to show you this. Those of you, some of you already know this, but let it sink down in. Those of you listening, you may have never heard this. So we know the UN, if we look at everything, we look at all the information, and I just gave you a few quotes, right? Just give you dozens and dozens and dozens of articles, quotes from people, right? But if the UN is the beast, the world government, it's going to rise up out of it. It's going to morph into it. It doesn't happen overnight because it rises up out of it. Then we would find within it spirituality, religion, but just not the religion of the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus, right? Many people don't know this, that there's a spiritual side to the UN. They don't know that there's a group who has offices in the UN that's the publishing company for the UN that's been in there since its beginning, called the Lucius Trust. It used to be called the Lucifer Publishing Company, founded by a woman named Alice Bailey, who teaches the secret doctrine. And the secret doctrine is that truly, ultimately, God is Lucifer. She is the founder of the Lucius Trust. She is the spiritual leader, and she's passed away now, but her teachings and her books are the foundation of all the main leaders within the United Nations. So they put in meditation rooms. And then you got this group right here, another NGO, non-governmental organization that's part of the United Nations. They call themselves the spiritual foundation of the United Nations, the Aquarian Age community. Well, you ought to read some of the stuff on their website. Look at this. The organization, the Lucius Trust organization, was originally founded in the 1920s by well-known occultist Alice Bailey. The trust is recognized by the United Nations as a non-governmental organization. It's represented at regular briefing sessions at the UN. The Lucius Trust is also a member of the UN Economic and Social Council, and until recently, the Lucius Trust address was 666 United Nations Plaza, but that was too obvious, so they had changed that. Alice Bailey was a disciple of the occultist Helen Blavatsky. Now, Helen Blavatsky, that's important to remember because she was the author of The Secret Doctrine, a book called The Secret Doctrine. But Alice Bailey channeled a spirit guide, a demon that called itself the Tibetan master, Dwal Ko. Bailey taught that the world spiritual teacher would soon appear and lead the world into the age of Aquarius, and it was the task of her disciples to prepare the way for his imminent appearance. Now think about this. This spirit told her there's going to come a world teacher, a world leader, and he's going to head up the UN, and your disciples are to prepare the way through meditation, you know, your voodoo, and the UN, a place for him. Let's look at Helen Blavatsky, her teacher, Alice Bailey. The Secret Doctrine by Blavatsky. She said, quote, Lucifer represents life, thought, progress, civilization, liberty, independence. Lucifer is the Logos, the serpent, the savior. Now remember, this is the woman who discipled and taught Alice Bailey. Notice what else she said. She said, it is Satan who is the God of our planet and the only God, she said. Pages 215, 216, 220, 245. She said, the celestial virgin, which thus becomes the mother of gods and devils at one and the same, for she is the ever-loving, beneficent deity, But in antiquity, in reality, Lucifer or Luciferius is the name. Lucifer is divine and terrestrial light, the Holy Ghost, and Satan at one and the same time. Blasphemy. She is the originator of the first magazine called Lucifer, and that's why Alice Bailey called her magazine or her publishing company Lucifer Publishing Company, following her teacher Helen Blavatsky. But this Alice Bailey and Blavatsky teach, this is from the Lucius Trust website, look at what they teach right here. The esoteric meaning of Lucifer. And they believe, they say Lucifer is the fallen angel, but that he actually came down here, he chose to fall from heaven so that he could give mankind the correct knowledge. So their idea is that Eve did the right thing, taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is straight, you see this, straight, you see this screen capture straight from their webpage. All right? We could go on. This whole thing, descent and sacrifice, that's what that was talking about. More Lucian Trust. But let's go over here. I'll show you this. And I'm going to quit here in a minute. We still got 30 minutes of our time on Blog Talk, but I'm going to quit before a minute. But I want you to see this. I want you to connect the dots. All right? They got the UN, the beast. But it also has spirituality and religion within it. And the spirituality and the religion is from the teachings of Helen Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. And how do we know that that continued on? Because Robert Mueller was in the United Nations for 40-something years. Let's read this. Robert Mueller, he was born March 11, 1923. He died September 20th, 2010. He was an international civil servant with the United Nations. He was the assistant secretary general for 40 years. His ideas about world government, world peace, and spirituality led to the increased representation of religions in the UN, especially the New Age movement. This is straight from Wikipedia. He was known by some as the philosopher of the United Nations. Robert Mueller created the World Core Curriculum, Common Core, World Core, that earned him the UNESCO Prize for Peace Education in 1989. The World Core Curriculum helped inspire a growing global education movement. More than 30 Robert Mueller schools were founded throughout the world, including Life School in Guatemala, whereupon students have gone to pursue degrees in international affairs. So this man was within the UN, the Secretary General's the head, but a new one's reelected. I don't even know if it's like every 5 years or something. But the Assistant Secretary General, permanent position. So he was there for 40 years. 40 years, died and left in 2010. So not that long ago, right? You with me? What was his spirituality? In his own words, in the preface of his World Core Curriculum, Robert Mueller makes it clear who and what his global education system is based on. It's in his curriculum, in the preface. He says, the underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School is based will be found in the teaching set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey. The school is now certified as a United Nations Associated School providing education for international cooperation and peace. So he tells you, this is a man in the United Nations for 40 years, called the philosopher of the United Nations, brought everyone, more people that came into the United Nations, he brought them into this New Age religion, and then he got an award in 1989 for creating these schools and this World Core Curriculum, and it's all based on the teachings of the woman who founded the Lucifer Publishing Company, who channeled a spirit that said, get ready for this coming world. And her teacher said that Lucifer was God. Folks, this is in the UN right now. Right now. But is it a conspiracy theory? Bailey claimed, now this Alice Bailey claimed that this reappearance of the world spiritual teacher required intense meditation and reciting of the Great Invocation. Former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld was also a follower of Bailey and was responsible for the construction of the meditation room in the United Nations building, and they meet regularly in there to chant and visualize world peace and their world leaders. That's it. Look at that. You know what's funny? It's Bethany and I one day, my daughter Bethany, we were riding down the road and we're talking about some of her schoolmates. You see this cube-like box there. I guess that's some kind of weird altar. I don't know. But she said, you know, that she has these people that think that, you know, everyone going to heaven when they die, or we're all going to the same place. And I said, well, we should just call them the one big room people. And I said, you know, their symbol could be a cube. You know, we have a cross, and, you know, they could just have a cube. One big room, right? We got a kick out of that. But there you go. There's the cube, people. One big room, people. Right? So I'm going to read this. The Aquarian Age community, they were the other part of this, known as the Spiritual Foundation of the United Nations. Look at this. Who founded the Aquarian Age community? The Lucius Trust. So there are another organization formed by the Lucifer Publishing Company. And they describe their mission on their website. This is our mission in the United Nations. To prepare the way for the imminent appearance of the world spiritual teacher. They are an official consultative NGO in association with the United Nations Department of Public Information, and their website is sponsored by the UN. This is a UN organization. And they're looking for him. Now look at this. In 2001, the Aquarian Age community had a large meeting in New York in 2001 completely dedicated to the appearance of the world spiritual teacher. In their report of the meeting, the world spiritual teacher is known by many different names in the various religious and spiritual traditions of the world. This great being is referred to by such names as the Christ, the Maitreya, the Thinker, the Healer, the True Aquarian, the Pilgrim, the Imam Mahdi, and the Batsala. They're saying is this man that's coming to lead them, that they're meditating for, that they're praying for, that they believe coming, he's going to be all that in one human being. So he's got to be a Muslim if he's going to be the Imam Mahdi. So folks, what do you think? Do you think the UN's the beast? See, this is the real picture of this. This was in 2013. UN troops bulldoze homes, leave thousands homeless. Thousands of poor Brazilian families are living in wretched conditions that makeshift refuge from their homes at gunpoint by federal forces, some of whom were sporting United Nations logos, according to sources. You know what they did? They said, you know, we want this land. And, you know, there was some ancient heritage, historical something here. So get out. We're taking it. That's the UN. Make no doubt about it. That is the UN. So get ready. Because they're here for us. Why we see in their vehicles everywhere now. While we're getting reports from people in Louisiana on military bases that UN troops are here. They got plans. We just need to realize that everything the Bible said about the last day is upon us. The conspiracy, you know, I remember I was thinking about this scripture. I can't remember where it is. I know it's in Samuel or Chronicles, about David. Everybody remember the story when Absalom overthrew David, right? Well, Absalom went behind the scenes. He conspired. He found people he could work with. David's chief counselor and advisor, one of David's closest friends, Ahithophel. You love those names. Some say Ahithophel is the uncle of Bathsheba. You have an idea why he might have had an issue with David. But these words I remember, somebody look them up. You can find, and said these words. David realized what was happening when he finally realized there was the term, the phrase used in there. When he saw that it was going to happen, he was going to be overthrown. For a short time anyway, but he was going to be overthrown. The term, the conspiracy is strong. And he started talking about even this person is with him and even that person. But David had to flee. King David, the man after God's own heart, lost his throne to a rebel. What is it? 2 Samuel 15:12. Read it real loud. Ahithophel. To increase with Absalom. This is what we're seeing. The conspiracy is strong now. More and more people are joining the belief system of the elite, the globalists, the bankers, the Luciferians, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, even the UN. Do you know that most Americans think the UN is something good? You want a definition of stupid? Low information? Media, mind-controlled zombies? Do you think the UN is a good thing? Oh, but they talk about peace. They also say Lucifer is God. My, isn't that amazing? Pretty clear, isn't it? Well, say, what did we do, Pastor? Well, the conspiracy's strong, even within our own. Yes, Oliver North's part of it. They've been planning it for a long time. X-84, Operation Garden Plot, Turn, Labor Camp. There it is. So the Civilian Inmate Labor Program, Army Regulation, CDS. Civilian? Since when do we need, some of it's disappeared, you know, since I saved this off. So you can't find it anymore. This is the end game, what they call end game. Office of Detention and Removal Strategic Plan. Detention and Removal Strategy Force. But careful. Who are they removing? Well, I don't even know where. Or they've been planning that for a long time. You got to have a way to move people. You got to move a bunch of people to a detention system. How did they move? How did they move the Jews? Yep. Yep. They're going to transform all these different little places into it. They want America. They want America's resources. But they know, listen, the thorn in the side of the beast means us in the Western countries, the free countries, countries with constitutions and republics that believe in sovereignty, that believe in freedom, we're the enemy, the real stubborn ones who happen to be Christians. That's why it says, read it, Revelation 17, Revelation 13, he will make war, the beast will what? make war with the saints. War with the saints. So, the world government, you better get ready. It's going to get interesting in September. If anything, we will definitely make a stride in that direction. If they don't, something. I'm wondering if they're going to trigger something to just go ahead and launch it. Huh? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this night. Thank you for those here, those listening. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to touch them. And we pray, God, that you would just make us strong, Lord, because I believe no matter what Satan is planning, through the world government, through the United Nations, the coming Antichrist, what they are planning for America, Father, your people will be strong and do exploits. And so, Lord, we pray. Father, we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if he gets loud, he just has to come out. I can't even hear myself think. Well, I think we're done here. We'll log off. Did y'all learn something? Y'all got any questions? Are we logged off? Yeah.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.